Folks, it's episode 17 of the Welcome to Your Carlson Years podcast, aka Fifth Liners, aka the Scotch Cast, aka Chlapic Trap House. It's the podcast where the name is never the same and neither are the hosts, but you've got me, your boy Luke Paristi, in the house with James.
Yo, shout out to me.
And it's been a little while since we've put out a podcast, and we've been inundated with literally ones of requests for a new one. And let's face it, a lot of stuff has happened since the last time we got together and actually talked about hockey instead of the Raptors.
So yeah, talking mad shit about me on that episode. Well done, guys.
Yeah, we were like, James is not cultured enough for the podcast about basketball, so...
I liked the intro to that. That was great, where you were like, shout out to you. Meanwhile, we were having fun while you steadfastly stood by your stance to not like any Toronto sports teams. Anyway, back to having fun and enjoying our lives. Let's talk about how the Raptors just won a championship. Meanwhile, I'm just like eating dirt, being like, haha, to own Raptors fans.
Refusing to have fun to own the Libs.
Oh. It was worth it, baby.
So, James, where do you want to start this magical mystery tour?
Well, it's been a real whirl of wind so far, and I think we have an enormous amount of topics we could go over today, but we should probably start off with, and maybe you want to do a little musical accompaniment to this, Cody Ceci's a fucking Toronto Maple Leaf now.
It happened.
Praise be to Allah for this amazing moment. Like, I fucking can't believe. I'll start off by saying, like, I did not see this coming. Like, I find that the Sens have a pattern of saying, like, oh, we have every intention of re-signing Mark Stone, and not even like. There doesn't even appear to be a week of negotiations before they get rid of them. But, like, they will go to the fucking mat to keep people like Cody Ceci on the payroll, like, indefinitely. So I was shocked they even decided to walk away from him, or to trade him, let alone walk away from him. What I thought was going to happen was that they were going to they were going to decide to re-sign him. And it would be a complete disaster, and he would have absolutely no trade value, and then they would have to walk away from him or bury him in the minors or something, which they won't do.
Yeah, it's weird that, I mean, I guess it's not completely unprecedented that a youngish defenseman gets traded, but it was weird that Toronto took them, since they're allegedly the smart team. And I guess what I'm hearing is that maybe they think that he can be saved by proper coaching, which, you know, maybe that's true. I don't think he was going to get rescued in Ottawa, but maybe they're just like, hey, if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, then we got off of Nikita Zaitsev's contract, which lasts until like 2023 or 2024 or something.
Can I say something about that? Cody Aloysius Ceci of your Toronto Maple Leafs, turning it around sentiment is like so perplexing. Like, first of all, like, the guy's had like three or four different coaches at this point. He's played bottom pairing minutes. He's played top four. He's fucking played with good players, bad players. He'll hit his 500th game of NHL hockey this season. It's even closer if you count the 25 playoff games he's been in. I mean, we were ready to say, you know, Curtis Lazar is washed much earlier in his career. I mean, he's 25, but I really don't see him suddenly being good.
Cody Ceci on the Leafs is going to be appointment television for me, because there's been an overwhelming sentiment from people I see on Leafs Twitter who basically have gone, oh, well, there's no way, like, he's going to be at an improvement over Zaitsev almost by default. Like, anyone can be better than Zaitsev, and I'm really looking forward to them, walking that back.
Yeah, and I'll say that I have the exact feelings, but vice versa, right? Like, I'm in the place where I think no one is worse than Cody Ceci, almost statistically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect Zaitsev to be good, but at the very least, he's not like existing under that pall of being a first round pick from Ottawa who played for the 67s, where maybe there's some sort of spell that's been cast over management that like this guy's supposed to be good. Like, you know, Zaitsev's at least a bit of an outsider to us and, you know, might fall down the lineup a little easier if he's not performing.
Also, remember when Toronto hated on Dion Phaneuf constantly and then he came to Ottawa and we were like, it's Dion Phaneuf. Like, it's the doesn't blow the doors off, but like,
yeah,
solid back there. Like, was it worked out, right?
Like,
and I'm hoping the same thing might happen here. We're gonna get Zaitsev in. It's gonna be like, great, this guy is like slightly worse than like slightly washed Chris Phillips, and it's gonna be fine.
Could you use your juicy chess club brain to hit us with the like Zaitsev nerd chat? Like, what's the book on Zaitsev? I mean, like, maybe some listeners at home or maybe someone across the room from you who's talking right now couldn't give less of a fuck who this guy is up till this moment, and maybe have a little background information.
I think he's supposed to be like much worse offensively while being slightly better defensively. And so if you take those two halves together, it kind of comes out to a wash, or CC's even considered better, but I don't believe that. Bring on Zaitsev. Like, it's
because from what I understood is that Zaitsev is the Cody Ceci of the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fans hate him, they're perplexed why he's in the lineup and that kind of thing. But from what you say, if he's, you know, maybe not as flashy offensively as Cody Ceci, but a little more sound defensively. What I have to say to that is that my problem with Cody Ceci is that he wasn't good defensively. He wasn't really particularly impressive offensively. He's not tough, and he wasn't all that quick either. So you're kind of like, what would you say you do here exactly? So if Zaitsev has one attribute of a hockey player that's somewhat impressive or at least above average or decent, I think it kind of, it's an improvement.
Zaitsev also got like super spicy in the Russian media following I think this past season. Zaitsev got super spicy in the media where he took shots at Don Cherry. So immediately, yo, go off King.
Yo, Zaitsev is cute already.
Right? Zaitsev on Cherry. I'm amused that clowns like Cherry have a very big emphasis in our country as real experts, Zaitsev explained. It will immediately hang on the sights as if this is a serious person of some kind.
Yo, is there more?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go off.
Everyone loves goals, loves beautiful celebrations, all this tinsel that you can so that you can develop a t-shirt beautifully. No one is watching how many pucks you have selected. Great translation. It is impossible to see simply. A person can roll with a straight face, with a straight back, score a goal, and ride with a steep face. And you can just play the whole game in your area, and you are carried by the nose. You just crawl under the pucks. But in the end, you miss the winning goal, and that is just an outcast.
Okay, there are some Mad Libs like I am a new tie wearing like shit going on in there, but I say this.
I'm starting to think welcome. This Reddit thread may not be translated like perfectly.
I say welcome, Nikita Zaitsev, and if you can find it in the budget, I think every team should have a Russian translator because it seems that like Russian players. I watched his welcome, you know, like weird. Unpacking your shit from your car, like into your locker, surrounded by media appearance that Zaitsev had, and he seems very camera shy and basically like a professional hockey player, like doesn't have a lot to say. So I welcome spicy Russian version of this guy very much so, especially when he's straight up calling Don Cherry, who's a clown, a clown.
When I signed the contract, they drove me up on the first day and said, we consider that you are the best in the minority and you will play an entire minority. I'm guessing that means penalty kill. We haven't talked about this for 2 years. 5-5, I play in the defense zone. When I am stuffed into the attack zone, I immediately go for a shift. So Zaitsev himself is already like, yo, I haven't been, like, I'm the defense guy. Like, you know, step off my D about this, about my advanced stats. Everyone said that the defense of Toronto was shit, he explains.
Yo, this guy might be my favorite player on the team.
We
now.
Stand a straight talking king. Everybody wanted Muzzin, but he began to smear the next day. You just need to understand that this is Toronto. You will be defrauded anyway because you are a defender.
Holy fuck. This guy rules.
Yeah. Nikita Zaitsev, everyone. Buy your jerseys.
Yo. Also a cool name. I don't know. Welcome, my king, my shit-talking partner in crime. I mean, appears to hate the Leafs as much as I do, which is cool. Yeah, welcome, Nikita Zaitsev.
Nikita Zaitsev, come on this podcast.
Yeah, you fucking coward. Now he's going to kick the shit out of me. Do you want to talk about how the Sens are the Toronto Maple Leafs now? That's weird.
It is weird. I'm not used to it yet. I'm still trying to, you know, wait for my JNCOs to come in. I've been spending a lot of time with my parole officer just to make the full Leafs fan transition, but still not 100% there.
There's
still too much furniture in my house. Like, I'm not fully in the, like, scumbag Leaf zone yet.
My political views are too good.
I'm thinking about, you know, maybe adding a third Doug Ford t-shirt to my rotation. Yeah. But
before we move into some of the other players that have been acquired from the Toronto Maple Leafs, do you think with Zaitsev or some of the other players, even we can just go right into it, that there's a DJ Smith knows something we don't know? Or, like, I don't understand the motivation. I guess maybe it's like we're hiding the, like, Toronto Nazi gold in our, like, minds or something. Is that too spicy for the podcast? I can't figure it out other than, like, DJ Smith has an affinity for Connor Brown that we just don't know because we don't watch the Leafs or something, or is that even a fucking good thing?
I mean, I think this all comes back to the landmark case of the People versus Guy Boucher. When Guy Boucher got hired, and then immediately it's just like, hey, I've got this guy from Genevieve Servette. You know, you may know him as Tom Pyatt.
Exactly.
But to me, he's going to be my firstborn son who I will play at all times. And then, you know, we're like, all right, Guy Boucher's got his guys. Why not? Like, he's the coach now.
I'm worried.
And I guess if you're Ottawa and you're trying to get a roster filled out for, you know, as little money as possible, more on that later, then, you know, maybe you're just like, yeah, sure, why not get Connor Brown at, you know, $3 million or whatever, because the coach likes him and we do need someone to play.
So Connor Brown's supposed to be like the cute acquisition of the group, right?
Did we pick up Tyler Ennis too?
Oh yeah, like semi-retired good player Tyler Ennis.
I think Tyler Ennis is like supposed to be the alleged diamond in the coal mine there.
Yeah, like he's good, but he's on sabbatical from being good the last few years. Like if you look at his hockey DB, it's just like the final countdown.
I think he's also afflicted with a terrible case of the 5'9", so I think that didn't help his standing in Toronto. Boom! Got him.
I remember this guy having some juice. I don't know if he played in the World Juniors or something, or no, he was a first round pick. I don't know. I remember him being kind of bandied about as a young hotshot, but I didn't know he was 29. Like,
it's just impossible to have opinions on these guys because you know why? Because we don't watch the Leafs.
Or and the Buffalo Sabres, like even lower on the scale, you know, like, yeah, sorry I wasn't watching the Buffalo Sabres in 2010. Their legendary 7-game playoff appearance. Anyway, good luck in future endeavors, Tyler Ennis of your Ottawa Senators. Apparently, I've seen a few projected lineups, and Ennis seems to be penciled in pretty strongly on the fourth line.
Well, I mean, we'll see if a guy like Nick Paul can't take that spot. Is Nick Ooh. Paul still on the team? Does anyone know what the Ottawa Senators are right
Nick
now?
Nick Paul, who's
like,
probably also 29.
We're out here doing a podcast about our allegedly favorite team, and we don't even know who's on it anymore.
I've grown out a mustache recently, and I feel like a young Rudy Balcers in his prime, you know? I find people are nicer to me now that I have a mustache. Do you have an opinion on my mustache? Call in 1-800-226-6868.
I mean, I need to start wearing that Kaspar's Dogovins Who Wants a Mustache Ride t-shirt more often.
Folks, if you're listening at home, I want you to Bing search Kaspar's Dogovins Mustache Rides and look at that photo of him holding up that t-shirt. I take my vitamins and pray every day that I can achieve that level of confidence that he's displaying in that photo.
Look, man, you have to be Latvian to acquire it naturally, I think. Otherwise, you need some pharmaceutical enhancement.
Bring back Kaspar's Dogovins. That's what I always say.
Hell yeah.
It hasn't been the same. Yo, Kaspar's Dogovins in the lineup, we win game 7 against I can't believe we don't get paid to do this.
I mean, honestly, Kaspar's Dogovins instead of Chris Kelly might actually have been a worthwhile lineup change for that game 7 against Pittsburgh.
Kaspar's Dogovins, the other Wingles.
We re-signed the Duke.
Yo, I like it. I like it a lot. I'm with the Duke. I don't know if like the Duke is good. We're talking about Anthony Duclair. Come on, act like you know. I definitely am super into it. I think over the next couple... How long is he signed for? Was it just 1 year?
Yeah, just 1 year.
That's okay. Yeah, I can't tell if he's on some Brian Gibbons shit, but with like a higher ceiling, or if he's like a guy that's going to be on the team in like 4 or 5 years from now.
Well, he's only 23, so it could go either way.
What? That's fucking insane. I thought that dude was like 26 years old. Wow, that's I'm shook knowing that he's only that young and he's played for like 4 or 5 teams now. Woo! I'm going to have to pick myself up off the floor after that one. Okay.
There's this name that keeps on showing up on Cap Friendly, and I don't know anything about it. Max Verano. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about that guy?
Yeah, he's from the Glebe.
Oh, sweet.
Do you for real not know about him?
No idea.
So he's a fucking Bobby fucking Butler of his time. I think he went to Harvard or...
Princeton, apparently.
Princeton, yeah. This sort of school where maybe like... grab someone by the ankles and stick their head in the toilet, flush. More known for that than hockey, but
yeah, go Tigers.
Yeah, but he looked pretty good. I have very low in a post Bobby Butler, Stefan DaCosta, Matt O'Connor, Infinity paradigm. I'm a bit like, we'll see what happens.
We're
looking into a lot of things very strongly.
I'm tired of getting excited about any undrafted guy out of college.
It's one of those things where like the Sens actually end up landing the marquee FA signing college guy.
And then it turns into a bad thing.
And then it's like, yeah, the guy didn't get drafted. I don't know. And I think Ottawa tends to get those players because they're like, yeah, Stefan DaCosta, do you want to sign here? You'll get top 6 minutes. You're like officially our second line center. Whereas like the, you know, whoever, like the Penguins are like, yeah, you'll be on the taxi squad, but you might win a cup.
Yeah, have fun in Wilkes-Barre,
yeah.
Scranton. Yeah, I guess that is the good thing about Ottawa being just... I don't know, they're the Cleveland Indians from the movie Major League at this point. But in a literal sense.
It's a dark timeline when you think about that movie.
Change my mind.
Yeah. Shout out to you, Max Verano. You have strong Jean-Gabriel Pageau energy to you where I could get strongly behind a young local boy does good. I thought he looked pretty good last year in the games I saw him in, put up a couple points. The world is your oyster because our lineup is extremely terrible, and I think you have a chance to prove yourself.
Yeah, if you're basically anyone could potentially be a walk-on for the Ottawa Senators this year, I think that'd be a good bit, actually, is for the Ottawa Senators to hold open tryouts for a training camp this year. Who says no? Is it time for Hainsey chat?
Okay, I'm going to say this about Ron Hainsey. I don't know anything about Ron Hainsey other than everyone hates him.
Yeah.
Like,
he's 38.
And
he's
got
older
like,
than dirt.
And he got like nice money too, right? Like I'm telling you, can you please look up his contract?
1 year, $3.5 million.
Like with the Sens, it's like, you know, we'll see what happens when it comes to like signing actual good players. But there's always money in the banana stand for Ron Hainsey. They're like, yeah, $3.5 million. I've seen, I don't know if you've been on this website, twitter.com.
I'm aware of it.
People make their own, you know, fantasy. How do you say it? Fantasy or fantasy?
Yeah.
Fantasy.
Okay.
They make their own lineups. Like, seriously, no one has Hainsey like opening night lineup. You know, they have whoever, Zaitsev or fucking Christian Yaros ahead of him in the lineup. But yeah, they somehow have like $3.5 million dues for old man Hainsey.
Old like defensemen get into this weird wine era where somehow the older they get, like the better they get at hockey because they have to like cut all the right corners to be able to stay in the league to begin with. So there's this guy, Ron Hainsey, who, you know, he's about as mobile as a battleship, like skates at the speed of smell or what have you. But it doesn't matter because he's got that like good hockey IQ that he's cultivated over 15 seasons, where it's like, yeah, I don't have to skate because I just know all the spots I need to stand.
No, you don't know the ins and the outs and the outs and the ins of this pimp game. Like, everyone knows in hockey, like, speed is cyclical. Like, being slow is coming back into style, mm-hmm. right? Like,
exactly.
So, you know, it's a good time signing that the league's going to really slow down for Hainsey, and he'll, like, be right back at home again. So
exactly. He's going to take Thomas Chabot under his wing and just be like, yo,
like,
young blood, just let me tell you, this game's all about standing still.
Yeah.
Don't chase in your own zone. Let them come to you.
Yeah, the Hal Gill school of hockey. Just like be big and in the way instead of skating.
Yeah. I'm 6'3". You should try it.
Anyway, welcome aboard, Ron Hainsey. Does he have a cup? Was he like on the Penguins when they won a cup or something?
Yeah, he was, I think.
Yeah, that's one of the most annoying things where it's like, well, this guy knows how to win. You know, he was on that, like, insanely good Penguins team that, like, has, you know, Evgeny Malkin as its second-line center. This guy, like, it's always, like, the people versus, like, Alexei Kovalev winning a Stanley Cup in, like, his rookie season. Like, you know what I mean? Where it's just, like, I don't know, like, some people fucking never win a cup and they have a Hall of Fame careers, and some people just get traded to the Penguins at the right time. And like, next thing you know, it's 2019 and you're making $3.5 million to like tell Thomas Chabot to slow down, young blood.
The system works.
Really is. I'm going to try a really gross looking beer. This beer is brought to you by Lone Star. Lone Star, the official beer of Matthew McConaughey's character in True Detective Season 1, who clearly has a drinking problem. I've never had one of these. It was on sale. It was like $1.20-something.
It's got the classic red and white on the can. And who knows that? Who knew that color scheme would work for a beer?
Mm. To paraphrase our own boy, Virata, Free Virata, by the way. It tastes like shrimp.
That's your beer break with tasting notes with James. Also, because as we know, the Senators are now the Leafs. Are you aware that we even hired a coach from the Leafs?
Yeah, so when we decided to do this podcast, I was like, should we even talk about the like, it feels like it happened 6 months ago. It's our, I think this is our 26th coach in the last three seasons.
Yeah, sitting back there looking like a young Marty Raymond.
Yeah, like a young Raymond in his prime. He's Leaf scum through and through. You know, I think the more interesting timeline, or I think the more interesting storyline is almost like, if you're Jack Capuano, are you fucking tight taking orders from this assistant coach? Being a Sens coach is just seems like a really humbling experience. Like, if it's not humbling immediately, it's like you work your whole career to get a head coach job. You put your 2 years in, you get mad at Erik Karlsson eventually, or whatever seems to happen over and over again. You don't play Mike Hoffman enough. You get canned, and then you never get a head coaching job ever again. Basically, it seems to be what happens to all of them.
Yeah, even a guy like Guy Boucher came in, like, had the best season he could have had, got them to within a game of the Stanley Cup Finals. Everyone bought in. And then 2 years later, he's getting fired 3 days after Pierre Dorion says, I'm not going to fire that guy. Which also makes me wonder what the heck Guy Boucher did to, like, get himself fired like that. Did he pee on Dorion's car? Like, I don't know. Anyway, all this to say that I don't even know how I would gauge success of DJ Smith. I think if DJ Smith comes in, like, plays anyone under the age of 25, like, enough minutes, and then, like, keeps the team loose, because they're not going to win games.
No.
I think if they keep the team loose, just says, like, go out there and have fun, like, maybe the Sens will lose a bunch of, like, 5-4 games because, you know, Craig Anderson is washed, but Balcers and Shabbat will combine for 5 points or something, you know? That's the sort of stuff I want to see is, like, if I can adopt the terminology of a wanker for a minute, let's lose the right way this season.
If you just put Erik Brännström in the lineup, you know you're going to a couple of games this year.
Yeah.
Like, it's that easy. You just run it like a fantasy team.
Yeah, just go. Yeah, yo, you there, Brännström. Hit a home run. Like, I hereby give you permission to go coast to coast like 5 times this game. Choose wisely.
Yeah, like, what you've got, DJ Smith, if you're listening, come on this podcast, you coward. You got nothing to lose and a whole world to gain. Like, just bench Hainsey already. He's like a player coach or whatever. He's going to make sure that, you know, Erik Brännström gets a haircut you can set your watch to, and give Erik Brännström 20 minutes a night. Let Shabbat actually run the defense. You know, it's not that hard.
I don't want to see any defensive responsibility this year.
No. Like, why?
Yeah. Be run and gun till we die, baby. Like, let's go out there and, like, score some goals, have some fun. I'm tired of, like, we need that change up after the kind of, like, relentless Guy Boucher system death march where, you know, the responsibility was the name of the game. And then it turns out that system didn't work anymore once Erik Karlsson and Mark Stone were gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, DJ Smith, best of luck in future endeavors, which is a thing that I usually say after people get fired. But, you know, honestly, I genuinely mean, like, best of luck this season.
Yeah.
I've got no idea how you're going to be successful or even what that would look like.
If I can shed some, you know, Marianne mindset on this podcast and just see things through a loving, rosy gaze.
Good vibes.
Good vibes only. You know, your t-shirt says that in huge letters, you know, live, love, laugh, tin sign. Is that the one thing I've read consistently about DJ Smith is that he's kind of a player's coach. Like, people really like him. It's like, yeah, that's pretty much, like, there's no reason to be a hard ass, which I think is why Mark Crawford doesn't work here anymore. Like, I've heard that guy's kind of tough to play for, you know, like, we don't need to be like making our beautiful baby son Brady Tkachuk feel like shit every
exactly
day,
the last know? Thing we need the last thing we need is a guy who's going to make Brady Tkachuk and Colin White feel bad about playing too much Fortnite.
Yeah,
you know,
like make sure he's eating his bananas after the game to cut down on his lactic acid in his legs or whatever, like take an ice bath. But other than that, just like just let our beautiful tadpoles cook, you know. I guess what we're saying is there's a lot of pressure on the Sens this season.
Yeah, we're not gonna judge DJ Smith based on wins and losses. We're gonna base him on like judge him based on how much fun is Brady Tkachuk having right now.
Man, Jack Capuano was a head coach in the NHL for 7 seasons.
Were they all with the Islanders?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why he didn't get hired again.
And two as an assistant coach. We don't say associate coach on this podcast. That's haram. We don't like that. and he, so one as an assistant with the Islanders, 7 as a head coach, and 2 as an associate assistant coach. So assistant to the associate coach in Florida. Who, by the way, you know I'm not one for predictions, but I think Florida is going to be extremely good in 20 or 30 years from now. I'm telling you, you nerds have strong opinions about Florida, and I'm not seeing it.
Look, as the official representative of the nerd community on this podcast, I'm here to tell you that friendship with Florida over Carolina is our new best friend, as you know.
I mean, I'll take, I feel like I have more time for Florida than Carolina. You're like, Carolina's good. That's terrible hockey to watch, but man.
That sounds like a you problem.
Imagine those heat charts.
Oh, so many rebounds. You know how fun rebound hockey is to watch?
Oh, yeah. I think it's time to talk about occasionally like 1,000 monkeys puking into 1,000 fountain pens. And scribbling onto parchment, they eventually write Glengarry Glen Ross, where, you know, 1,000 Dorians trying to lower the team's overall spending whilst shaking up the lineup eventually produces, bruh, they actually traded Zach Smith for Anisimov. Like,
right?
Pretty good trade.
R.I.P. Zach R. Smith. R. Best of luck in future endeavors. I don't know. How do you feel about the last remaining member of Capital Waterfowling being traded?
Well, you know, it's a tough time for all of us, but you know, as the Vitamin C song Graduation, or is that what that song is called? Plays in the background, you know. Like,
I think it just gets played at graduations, but it's called Graduation now.
As
we go on,
as George Harrison's "All Things Must Pass" plays gently in the background, Chicago is on a lake, so he will still be able to make his duck calls into oblivion, and you know, Zach Smith, I will forever remember you as a guy who is simultaneously very handsome but also looked like a 12-year-old girl having the worst birthday party ever face having ass guy. I will forever love you for doing that thing where you flinched at Nazem Kadri and he cowered in fear.
Right. That was Zach Smith's greatest moment.
That is
was
a very hard gift to find, but it is truly blessed looking. Watching, you know, say what you will about violent hockey, like watching Nazem Kadri cower in fear is incredible. And I forever thank you, Zach Smith. You know, I never hated Zach Smith. I think he was like actually a pretty serviceable bottom six player that had some kind of gross injuries where he would come back And it, you know, with pro athletes, you assume when a player is back, they're fine, you know. But I remember one, I think he had a 14 or so goal season and dislocated his wrist, which makes the bile come to the tip of my throat thinking about what that means. Like,
not a good injury.
You don't hear about that very much. No. Like, dislocated
wrist.
No
one goes, oh, it was only a dislocated wrist. It's fine.
And then the next year he scored like 3 goals. It's like, yeah, I don't think you're good at shooting the puck really hard after having that happen within a calendar year. You know, so I think he had some kind of gruesome injuries here and there. I think he played hurt a lot. And, you know, it was very telling that he'd have a good year and then a bad year and, you know, pretty spotty record overall. But, you know, Zach, your wife's extremely good looking. And, you know, shout out to you, my man.
Worth mentioning, I think that Zach Smith was also the last remaining member of the Binghamton Senators team that won the Calder Cup.
Huh.
So the Mike Fisher rebuild era team is officially gone. There's no more Zach Smith. There's no more Jim O'Brien. There's no more Colin Greening. No more Mike Hoffman. No more Patrick Wierkosz. So say what you will about that rebuild, but at least it got Binghamton their Calder Cup.
Yeah. Those are good times. I don't know. What do you think of when you reflect on Zach Smith? Positive or negative?
He was also one of the guys who was in that epic line brawl against Montreal in the series where Ottawa punked Montreal extremely badly and Pageau had a hat trick.
And who was your man that he was kind of like in this the center ice with, like, tangled up with, was it Chad De La Rose?
Yeah, something like that.
Where he's like 5'9" and Zach Smith's kind of like, we don't have to do this. And then, you know, to his credit, even though he's Habs scum at the time, is kind of like, no, we're going to fight. And Zach Smith's like, all right, try to take it in the shoulders so I don't break your jaw during. Yeah, that's another great Zach. Yeah, you know, maybe Zach Smith has more memorable playoff moments than Jason Spezza.
Maybe.
Let's name our favorite Jason Spezza playoff moments.
What a great trip down memory lane.
I think that the best Jason Spezza playoff moment that illustrates Jason Spezza playoff moments is how Mark Stone, I believe, was playing his first NHL game and set up Jason Spezza for a goal against the Rangers. And everyone remembers as remember
Mark Stone
when Mark
pass.
Stone set up that goal? That was sick. Who scored that again?
Yeah.
Like, damn. On Henrik Lundqvist. Like, imagine scoring a goal on Henrik Lundqvist and everyone's like, that setup, though. Really waited a second after he crossed the blue line. Jason Spezza of your Toronto Maple Leafs, by the way.
Zach Smith kind of falls into that Ryan Dzingel zone for me, where he's a good guy to have on your team if you're competitive, but like you're not going to win anything with Zach Smith being the, I don't know, sixth best player on your team.
Look,
so
you spoke, we listened, you wanted to hear about Zach Smith on this podcast. We're talking about him. What about Anisimov? Are you excited about this, or do you think he's going to be like kind of like when we got Sergei Gonchar, where you're like, holy shit, we have Sergei Gonchar. This guy's a nightmare to play against, and we get him, and you're like, this is pretty good, I guess.
It's going to be the second thing, I guarantee it, yeah. Because the nerd talk on Zach Smith versus Artem Anisimov is that it's a wash.
Yeah, and that like Anisimov's line mates are like Patrick Kane and stuff like that.
So here's the other thing. So like, how old do you think Artem Anisimov is?
I think he's like 29 or 30.
He's 31.
Well, you know, when you overestimate and you're still wrong, it's like being right.
He's even the same age as Zach Smith. Because in my mind, I looked at that trade. I was like, all right, so they're the same player. But at least Arden Anisimov is like 25. He's not. They're the same player. So, but you know what
is... He's cuter, though.
He is. Also,
not physically, but like spiritually.
He's got a signing bonus that was paid by another team. So that's what makes him especially cute in the eyes of Eugene P. Melnick, Esquire.
I'm starting to feel more drunk, which is good. Let's talk about, speaking of a death in the family, RIP, rest in extreme power to our king, Mike Condon.
Mm.
I got a lot to say about this. I don't know why I have such strong opinions about Mike Condon.
Okay, this is a safe space, James. You know, tell us what you think about Mike Condon.
Well, okay, so here's the thing with Mike Condon. He, shout out to you, Bad Boy for Life. You know, kind of sucked, and we got him because we needed him, because RIP Andrew Hammond and his hip or whatever happened with him, you know. But we got him, Craig Anderson, with an extremely awful and intense family situation with our Queen Nicole undergoing her cancer treatment. Filled in valiantly. Like, I always remember, you know, his role in getting the Sens to the playoffs in that very, you know, amazing season. And then in pure kind of like journeyman backup goalie fashion, just absolutely like Wile E. Coyote, like walks 10 paces off of a cliff and looks down and just plummets to his death. Like, the numbers are there, right? Like, he went 19-14-6, 9-14 save percentage. The next season went 5-17-5. Like, that is fucking brutal. That's got to be like one of the worst Sens goalie seasons.
What, only 5 wins?
5-17-5? Yeah. Like, fuck.
Yeah, it's definitely some Don Beaupre like expansion Sens ass numbers for sure.
Like, you go 5-17-5 with Erik Karlsson still on the team.
Whoa.
Like, and Mark Stone. Like, you have one of the best two-way forwards and one of the best offensive defensemen.
Incredibly weird that Mike Condon, like, he really did he faded out worse than Hammond, to be honest, because he had a couple games in Ottawa, then was still hurt. Then let that goal in from, like,
I think
the
it was
other
like
blue line.
2,000 feet away.
Yeah, like, let it in from the surface of Mars. Yeah. And then went, had one game in Belleville.
A win. In, yeah. A 6.01 GAA win.
Got that W under his belt despite letting in 6 goals.
Yo.
And then was just, like, banished to the Phantom Zone. And then there was, like, some weird article on The Athletic or something that was talking about how he underwent a like experimental stem cell treatment for his hip.
Yeah.
And like they like strongly implied that like he paid out of pocket for it because like the Senator's medical staff was like, that's not medically necessary. And they were, and he was like, fuck you, I need the stem cells. And then they're like, all right, whatever.
Ball,
and then
lie.
He never came back. And
I mean, it worked
now
for...
he got traded.
It worked for former NHL player Milan Mikalic. I remember he got that experimental stem cell surgery in Germany, and then he was amazing again. And by amazing, I mean, I think he played one more season, got traded to the Leafs, and then never played in the NHL again. So, shout out to you, Mike Condon. I think the most interesting thing about that Condon trade is that we got a corpse on ice, like fresh corpse, and Condon, I guess Toronto has the money to never have to do anything about it, but like Condon could play again, I think, maybe,
right?
But he is not an NHL player, And I almost think that Ottawa gets the better end of the deal because it's like, no, Ryan Callahan died doing what he loved, like surrounded by family and friends. Whereas like Mike Condon's kind of like sticking his hand out of the dirt from his grave or whatever. Like he might try to be the backup goalie for the Marlies or something.
Ryan Callahan's providing the valuable community service of keeping the Ottawa Senators above the cap floor, despite having a degenerative back disease.
Look, I'm strongly on record saying, like, I thought the in a post Andrew Hammond extension paradigm, the Mike Condon contract was even more unnecessary. Like, yeah, this guy went on a bit of a hot streak. Why are you locking him up? Kind of thing. And then they fucking did it again with Nilsson, which I'm not as tight about because now they've gotten rid of Condon, which I thought was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So
it, that those few months where there were inexplicably three goalies on the roster were kind of fun because you're kind of just looking around and it's like, well, one of you has to leave.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is, but like someone's got to go. It's kind of like, who's it going to be? And you could have made an argument for any of them. And I really was kind of hoping for the Nilsson-Condon tandem this season because, you know, we got to get that high draft pick this year, baby. And, you know, keep Mike Condon on the team just to make it happen.
This might be a little like Coke dreams, but
that's never stopped you before, James.
No, it really hasn't. For better or for worse. Please check out my clothing line. I want to see Craig Anderson get fat this year. You know?
You ready for dad bod Andy?
Yeah, like he's kind of an athletic dude. For a guy that's like out here on Twitch, like doing his weird like Blue Lives Matter, Team Blue Lives Matter, like fake virtual reality, like NASCAR races or whatever. He is pretty like fit for a 72-year-old.
Yeah, looks like if Bruce Willis was an endurance runner.
Yeah, he's ropey, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, come on, like your man's is like he's knocking on 40, you know. Anders Nilsson looks like if Captain America really applied himself in like his plyometrics class that he's taking at Bally Total Fitness. So you got that guy. He had a good season last year on a god awful team. Andy, let's go. You know, you live in Florida for some reason, which makes me apply the Blue Lives Matter banner to you. But you probably can access Susie Q Donuts. Get yourself some maple bacon donuts. I want to see a fat goalie on the Sens this year.
Craig Anderson, Thick Boy Summer 2019.
Absolutely.
Get it trending, folks.
You got nothing to lose, Andy, and a whole world to gain. Your wife seems really chill. You got, like, judging by the back of his helmet, like, with the initials and stuff, he's got, like, 6 or 7 children now. Like,
we all stand for Thick Alfie, too.
Yeah, like, no one's earned it more. Like, I feel like Craig Anderson is the best goalie in Sens franchise history. Don't fucking come around here and talk to me about Dominic Hasek. That guy is like Sens in name only, in my opinion.
Sino.
yeah, Sino squad. But like, Andy, you know, first game as a Senator, wasn't it like a 50-save overtime shootout?
Yeah, like 1-0 win. 1-0. Jason Spezza like, scored a shootout goal. Yeah.
Fucking get fat this year, my man. Let Captain Sweden America do the heavy lifting.
That's the attitude I want out of this podcast.
Like, I don't feel like it. Like, yeah. The coach is going to say, like, it's a 50-50 season, but it's going to be like, I think Andy's going to be getting, like, the Phoenix Coyotes. We don't say the other thing here on this podcast. We don't recognize that. We don't recognize the state of Arizona on this podcast. He's going to be getting the Tuesday night away game against the Coyotes, and he'll be like, I don't feel like it.
He's going to be load management.
Yeah, like there's a like me, the what is the video game league called? Do you know?
The video game league?
Like the, yeah, like how
like
they wear
Major League Gaming?
Yeah, where they wear jerseys. It's they wear dry wick away dry fit shirts to sweat into. Whatever. That's in town. He wants to like watch his favorite pro gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And they just call up like Hogberg or whatever. You know, he's on a cheap two-way. Just fucking have
a couple pops.
Have a few chili dogs, yeah. Man. I want to see him get hella fat. Get Alfie thick. Yeah. Alfie earned it. You earned it.
It's been a long time since we've had like a goalie with a wagon.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Like,
who was the last one? Hammond. Hammond is.
Yeah.
Hammond.
Hammond was
thick
dummy
thighs.
Thick.
I remember, I remember there was like the Sens gala where you can like win a date or like, you know what, you do like an auction to like have dinner with the Sens. Mm-hmm. I remember Andrew Hammond came out. I was like, that suit's custom made. Yo, shout out to you, Andrew Hammond.
I think the main takeaway from Vic Goalie Summer 2019 is that, you know, you're correct because no one's earned it more than Craig Anderson. Have a rest, mate. Let yourself go a bit. It's okay. It's time for Craig Anderson to start setting, you know, achievable beauty standards for men.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this guy, you know, coming like playing goalie looking like he just got out of his Matrix pod.
Yeah. And like, you know, I don't know if we have any tennis fans listening, but in the words of Stefanos Tsitsipas, just nourish your sensations. Okay, before we move away from goalies, I have a funny thing to say about the Sens goalies. Are we good on time? Not to soliloquize too much on it, but the other day I saw, I don't know if you've been on this website, twitter.com, but somebody, I don't remember who, was saying like, in a disparaging way, because I think we have one gear and it's self-depreciation, which, you know, is probably like a safer place to live as a sports fan than, you know, boasting.
No one owns the Sens harder than their own fans. Yeah. Like it's, we're just the best at it.
Just brutal arrogance. I'd rather, but sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves, which is only part and parcel with being a kind of self-owning fan. Was they were saying like, well, I hope one or two of Batherson, Schlappick, Brown, Balsers, Norris, Formenton, Brandstrom, Yaros, Paul, Gustafsson, works out. And you're like, when was the last time you were ever able to say that? Like, and I bring this up because I want to talk about getting rid of Condon is really interesting to me because, look, I've been following this team for a minute or two. I don't remember the last time the Sens ever had more than one goalie prospect in the system.
And now we do.
Like, so, it's one of those, like, I hope one of Hogberg, Gustafsson, or Decord works out. You're like, what? This wealth of, you know, goalie prospects. I kind of, like, the fact that there's, quote, before Condon was dealt, there's, like, a log jam of goalie prospects. Like, well, where's Gustafsson supposed to play? You're like, Leonard was just the guy before, you know? Like, it was just like, when's Leonard going to be good? Because that's all that's happening. And then before that, it was basically Emery, RIP. Yeah, like, I like that there's kind of an internal competition that with young Sens goalies.
So let's talk about Mads Søgaard.
Who?
Mads Søgaard.
Was he in the draft this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Drafted 37th overall. Welcome. By the Ottawa Senators.
Wow, that's high.
Or if you prefer, your Ottawa Senators.
Wow.
Out of the Medicine Hat Tigers and the Dub.
One of the best junior league logos going. Love that logo.
So the Senators, I think, traded up to get this guy. And here's what you have to understand about Mads Søgaard.
Okay.
He is a
teach this
man
devil.
Mountain. He is from Aalborg, Denmark.
Classic.
He's only 18. And yet he
is really creepy. I want to isolate. He's only 18. Just hold it against you forever.
And yet he's 6'7".
Woo!
Just
Shaq Fu.
Yeah, he's bigger than any mountain in Denmark. Like he's automatically the tallest thing in Denmark when he's home.
Wow. Any pedigree to speak of?
He rocked the solid 921 save percentage in the dub last year, which, you know, is pretty good considering that the WHL is like all junior hockey has like a lot of scoring.
So what you're getting at here is
like the friendship ended with Philip Gustafson. Like Mads Søgaard is our new
Malibu Stacy has a new hat.
Yeah,
and its name is Mads.
Correct. And so when you're to your point where you're like, have you ever seen this many goalie prospects in the Sens system? The answer is no.
No, like folks, we officially have enough goalie prospects that we forget about new Malibu Stacys with new hats. I'll take that. Because goalies are like, you know, five-legged unicorns that are extremely hard to not only develop, but to maintain a professional career.
I have it on good authority that he was also easily the second best goalie in the whole draft. So that's good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Mads, who I did not know about till a few minutes ago.
That's even interesting. That's how many goalies the Sens have now.
You just don't even know about.
Where
does he project to play next year? We're just working it out in real time.
Probably still the dub, right? If you're not even 19 yet, you're gonna get another year junior in.
Look, this is gonna be an unpopular opinion. I think the Sens are actually gonna be kind of cute to watch this year.
There's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. You got nothing to lose and a whole world to gain.
A thing that you can hang your hat on is the fact that we were worried about Brady Tkachuk in a post-Mark Stone paradigm, and yet your man was still the same, like,
no, I think he
garbage
goal-ass
scoring, like, shit-disturbing, front of the net crashing, like, guy we always loved. So let's do more of that, only now he's taking, like, the sweet, sweet feeds from Erik Brännström.
If Brady Tkachuk was made captain tomorrow, I'd be pretty with it. I don't think the Sens are going to have a captain for ever again in franchise history.
The
but...
two A's right now are with Peugeot and Boro.
Wow, that's a real yin-yang situation.
And at this point, they only have the A's because, like, you guys have been here for a while. Mm-hmm. You know where all the good places to eat in Ottawa are. That means you get an A.
I mean, my beautiful son, J.G. Peugeot, has scored more than one playoff hat trick on home ice. You won't get the A for that reason. Boro, I think, is, like, much more qualified for the, like, most improved odor. Like, we pay less attention to you award. But, you know.
Although Boro is a class traitor, though, on account of appearing in a video with Eugene Melnyk last season for some reason.
Well, he's a company man, that's for sure. Borowiecki, to use the Pierre Dorion pronunciation of it, is he's a company man. He's not the resistance. Who's the most resistance player on the Sens? Was it Carlson? Is Carlson like
yeah,
the Karl Marx?
Erik Karlsson, yeah.
The
Erik Karl Marx.
Erik Karl Marx. We miss you. We love you.
Why is Eugene making us break up with all these people? We actually liked them.
Because he hated freedom. Remember the last time we did a podcast and we talked about Eugene Melnyk for a while because of like LeBreton or something, and you edited it all out because you were like, no, we just kind of sound drunk and sad at that point. Like, whatever that piece of shit politician who called like Melnyk a stupid bitch at a Rolling Stone concert or whatever. You know, the enemy of my enemy is not necessarily my friend, but like,
makes a good point.
It's pretty cool that she told him off in the story. Like, if it was the other way around, you'd be like, well, Uncle Scrooge is at it again or whatever. You know, I like that he got told off in public, but I like this is a kind of a Melnyk free zone, I think. It's summer.
Tell me about Nucky Thompson.
Mango Lassie.
Yeah.
He seems cute. I don't know. Like, I think we were talking the other day about how the sadness level is like watching Nucky Thompson, first round draft pick of your Ottawa Senators this year, like crushing it at, like, I don't know if it's the Ivan Hlinka tournament or like Finnish summer league, but like, it's like watch him ring one off the post on this like Olympic size rink that still has all of the curling paint on it still. And you're just like, what am I doing with my life? You know, like, I gotta make some changes.
You gotta find the bright spots where you can, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, all we have going for us right now is players who might be good in the future. So anytime they do something good, you're like, that might make me happy in 5 years.
I feel the excitement. I watch some of the like development camp footage, and he looked much better than everyone that he was playing against.
Looked like he had the intent to break ankles, which I like. I don't know. For all the talk of the Senators having a bad draft this year or what have you, and to be fair, they did make some reaches, but you got to think that, like, at least they seem to have drafted for skill with a guy like Lassie Thompson, even if he was only projected like 28th or something. We're not in this kind of Vancouver Canucks zone where it's like, we're going to use our second overall pick to get a good grinder kid because he knows how to drop the gloves, right? Like, you got a guy, you need to get a guy who can do anything. He can hit, he can fight, he can check, he can bank it off the glass and out.
And you're like,
what a player.
Cool, a guy that can fight in junior hockey? That's amazing. It's going to definitely translate. I don't know. That's been the one saving grace. Like, I'm definitely of the opinion that, like, the Sens being good at drafting really floats them through, like, a lot of uncomfortable realities of how the team is run, where it's like, only by the grace of drafting Thomas Chabot does the Erik Karlsson trade even, like, land at all. And I don't think they drafted Thomas Chabot thinking, like, yeah, this guy's going to be so good, we won't even need Erik Karlsson anymore. It's just like, oh, turns out the guy that we got around the same spot as Erik Karlsson in the draft put up comparable numbers to him, like, early career-wise. It's like pulling a homer, I guess. Like, you know, you, like, slip on a...
Like, yeah, we turned a potential Chernobyl into a mere three-mile island.
Yeah, exactly. I think that that's the only thing that makes it watchable, is, like, turns out Brady Tkachuk wasn't a bad pick, and we don't know what we're talking about. And the first overall pick they gave away to Colorado potentially was a mere three-mile island of fourth overall in kind of a weak draft. You know, like, the drafting's the only thing that makes this interesting.
The system works.
The system extremely works. Everything's fine. It's good. I like it. I like my life, my terrible life.
I think this is going to be the unspoken subtext of this entire season, is that the Senators have 5 picks in the first 2 rounds.
Yeah.
Deep draft year. Mm-hmm. Let's embrace the suck. Let's stink it up. Let's lose some games this year, boys.
The only thing that's going to suck is when we're going to get 31st place and lose the draft, and we will not get Lafreniere. Like, just get it out of your mind. We are picking fourth.
Yes, right. Fourth all
we're
the way
getting
to baby.
Fourth again. They're going to get someone, like, pretty good. You know, like, they're going to get another Brady Tkachuk, where they're, you know, I loves my man Brady Tkachuk, but he's not Sidney Crosby. Like, he's not, like, a number one pick. But they're going to get another player you can set your watch to. Just book it. Make peace with it now. I'm calling it now. It's like the Lil B curse of draft projections. It's for your health. It's for your own mental health. Like, we care a lot about mental health on this podcast. And I'm saying make peace with losing that draft now.
Right. Man, Colorado Twitter got so spicy when they didn't get first overall, by the way. Can you believe that? Like, the nerve of them.
Joe Sakic, I hope you learned your lesson. You traded a lotto pick Ottawa team for their lotto pick. It's like, see, we lose lotteries. That's what we do. That's a monkey's paw fucking draft pick right there. They got Shane Bowers again. You know, like, congratulations. Mm-hmm. Another Shane Bowers. Do you think you have anything else to say about summer so far? Without talking about Eugene Melnyk? Eugene Hussein Melnyk.
Right. So does this make us part of the problem because we refuse to talk about Melnyk? Or are we just doing self-care?
I just got nothing to say. Like, it's just not fun.
Someone's got to talk about it.
Talking about the Sens is so fun in general. Like, I'm having such a good time.
Folks, take the joy where you can find it. It's the same protocol as last season. If you don't want to watch, don't do it. If you want to get excited about an AHL team, do that. Yeah. If you want to get really invested into the draft this year, do that. Like, just know every player in the top 100. Like, have your faves. You know, find a way to get through these dark times, because nothing good's gonna be coming out of Canada. Like, Ron Hainsey's getting 24 minutes a night. You know it's coming.
It's good, though. Like, it's good. Their Sens aren't supposed to be good.
Right.
Like, the last thing you want is the Sens to be good this year.
Right. They won't be, I don't think. Like, but yeah. Then again, it is hockey. Look, folks, just make sure you have a normal one.
Yeah, we're just, everything's normal. It's fine. 2019, super normal year. Everything going nicely, smoothly. Yeah.
And we'll be back in the fall once training camp hits and we actually see a preseason game.
Yeah.
Can really figure out how Ron Hainsey is.
Like, I'll go
see how Shabbat's looking this year.
I'll go to a couple games this year.
Yeah, exactly. I think the time to boycott the Sens might be over, because, like, at this point, like, your $20 on StubHub's not going to save Melnyk, right? So go to a game if you want.
Just buy the tickets off a guy in the fucking parking lot.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. They're like $40 and you're like, I'll give you $10. And they'll just watch them cower. Take 3 steps away from them. They're like, fuck, came out all this way. 15. And you're like, 15, that's fine. And then you buy a beer for $14 after. Like, it's really a good deal. Shout out to us, I guess, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Welcome to your Carlson years. Still undefeated, still untied.
Yeah, free Virata. Sorry, this was a depressing episode, probably. I don't know.
No, it's fine. It was good for most of it. Mm. And then, as usual, the, you know, specter of the Huge loomed over us, and
Melnyk
all joy was destroyed.
Melnyk free entertainment on your psychedelic rock ride.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't know. We'll talk to you when we talk to you. You know, God bless.
Have a blessed August, folks.
And hey, no more chemtrails. The chemtrails are gone, I recently learned. So.
Oh, great. All right. Another positive.
Everything's good.
We leave you with that.
Everything's good and normal.
All right. See you soon.